I'm Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com, coming to you normally every Wednesday to talk high school sports, but had to delay things until today, Thursday, because of various people being sick. But we're here with you. I'm Brad Locke, along with Gene Phelps and Blake Morgan. How we doing, fellas?
Doing well.
Doing well.
Trying to record this before the big Daily Journal Christmas luncheon, so hopefully we can stay focused on the sports and not on the food.
I'm already thinking of the food.
Well, man, let's fast break this thing.
Yeah.
let's play like the Nettleton Tigers, man. They go.
Yes, they do. We'll try to get through everything. We do have a good bit to squeeze in. Do want to remind y'all to check us out on Twitter at DJournalPreps, and you can listen to this podcast a variety of ways, of course, in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, and at preprally.djournal.com. Let's start with some hoopage, guys. Division play has begun for some teams, Gene, and you went out and we saw Tupelo hand Grenada a big loss, 73-35 last week, and then they beat Saltillo on Tuesday, 74-47. So this group is 11-0, Gene, and looks like Jeff Norwood has another good squad on his hands.
Yeah, I was talking with Jeff the other night after the game. I said, Jeff, before the season, you were telling me this is going to be a really good team at the end of the year. By the end of this year, I said, it's a really good team to start. And, of course, he laughed and he said it is. The thing that Tupelo's got going for it is depth. You know, that starting lineup, he's been juggling the starting lineup all season. And he's got about 10 players that can play, and they just all blend in together well, and everybody plays a role. And we're looking up some names, but you got Jet Johnson, who came over from football, and he can play inside for you, give you some muscle. Jalen Copeland, Kylan Hamilton, Tygel Harford, the little point guard.
Yeah.
Nick Ratcliffe, I wrote about Nick one of the games this year. He just does so many things. He can make plays. He can steal. He can, you know, he can make the big assist. He can block a shot. He can hit a shot. They've just got so many, I hate to use the word weapons, they've just got so many really talented players who can all play, and they seem to do well. The other night, Jet Johnson and Coach Norwood just talked about it. He said it was the best night of everybody sharing the ball. In other words, people were looking for the open guy, not to the point where you pass up something, but everybody – was that old cliche team chemistry. But that's starting to mesh for him. I think it'll play well for him down the stretch.
Certainly.
What can happen is, God forbid, if you have some injury or something, but Tupelo's deep enough that they've got about 10 kids that can play. Really entertaining. They play Starkville Saturday night in Tupelo, 7:30, part of one of these – holiday tournament things Tupelo's got going. I don't quite know the name of it. I just know Starkville and Tupelo boys playing be a really good game.
Should be. So Saturday night, that's in Tupelo, correct?
That is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another team off to a good start from the area, Shannon. We had David Wheeler out there Monday night over in Fulton, actually. They went on the road and beat Itawamba AHS 70-52. So Shannon off to a good start, 2-0 in division, I believe, 9-3 overall. And of course, we know we've got guys like CJ Brim, who I think each of the last two games has scored 24 points. And they got some other guys, too. Rance Champ, which is just a great sports name.
Yeah, we talked about him.
Great sports name, Rance Champ.
It is. CJ Brim's the catalyst there. He makes that team go.
Yeah, and you got Jay Dilworth there as well. And so CJ Brim, he makes them go. He had 24 points in that win the other night against Itawamba AHS. And also, Shannon, back on Saturday, defeated a good Calhoun City team, a 2A team, a strong team in the area, 77-75. That would have been a fun game to be at right there.
There's a lot of great games around here that we're missing just because we can't be everywhere, but that was a great one there.
Yeah, no doubt.
I was somewhere else working on that story and another story. Sometimes we have to, in this business, go places where we can get a twofer.
Exactly. And another team off to a strong start. Blake, you've been writing about these guys a little bit lately, Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
And you covered them the other night against Biggersville.
Yeah.
And they've looked pretty good. We talked about him, I think, last week, you know, getting some of the football guys back into the fold. But Barry, not Barry, that's his dad. Grant Goolsby, the coach, seems to be doing the best he can there to get the guys to play together early.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, I've seen them play twice. I think Gene's seen them play once, and they're 6-1 yep. to start off the year. First year head coach Grant Goolsbee, you know, he's been saying we've been playing well, but we still haven't played a full game, and that's what he, you know, so there's still a higher ceiling to go and still sure. improvement in the young season. But I mean, man, they're athletic, and they the two games I saw them play was Biggersville and Saltillo, and they just frustrated the, you know, with Baldwin's defense just frustrated the other team. With, you know, Baldwin's just so athletic, they get in the sure. passing lanes, it just causes a lot of problems for the other team.
And looking at the girls' side of things, Ingemar, of course, off to a good start. And we mentioned last week that five overtime loss they had to Lafayette. I think it was last Tuesday. But they bounced back. They went up to Missouri, played three games. I know Trent Adair and Gene was worried about how they'd perform coming off that marathon game. They went 3-0 up there. I don't know what level of competition they were playing, but they went 3-0. And so they're
still
rolling.
Yeah, he was a little frustrated after that five overtime game because he thought they had regressed some players. But they go up to Missouri. They win three games. They beat Poplar Bluff, Missouri, 51-44. They beat Neelyville, Missouri, 59-44. And he was hoping to go up there and get some competition, and they did. But that team's playing really well. They're probably, you know, defending state 2A state champion. Got to be the favorite coming in this year because they've got everybody back, including yeah. Mallory Russell, their inside player, post player. Lauren Thompson's playing a lot better this year. She's a forward. Kind of a guard forward. She's playing a lot better this year than she did last season. And Garabeth Self, their point guard, has really improved. I mean, she may be the best one of the whole group.
Yeah, they're 11-1 now going into a game. I think they have a game tonight against North Pontotoc, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe so,
and
yes.
they played Monday and beat Holka badly, 56-14. So Ingemar's girls are bouncing back nicely from that 5-OT defeat last week. Oxford's boys also doing well. In particular, we had a story on this guy who's been lighting it up, Gene, Jarkale Joyner.
That was the two-for-one story I went to yes. cover. I went to see Oxford play last Saturday. And Jarkale Joyner, at one time this season, was averaging 39.5 points a game. He is just, part of my story was that 2 years ago, essentially, Drew Tyler told me, he said he could be, by the time he's finished, the best player I've ever coached. Well, he's already going ahead and saying that now.
Sure.
Jarkale Joyner's he can slash, he can assist, he's an assist guy, he can shoot the three-pointer from anywhere, he can shoot it moving, fading, baseline, the wing, top of the key.
Yeah.
He's just there's no spot that's a favorite for him. He can hit all alley-oop dunk. He's teaming up with Terry Williams, the other guard, another senior guard who's averaging 22 a game, and Jarkel's averaging 36. So there you go.
Goodness.
58 points, I guess, is the math on that those guys are averaging together. And Terry Williams is no slouch. Anywhere else, he'd be the star of the team.
Right.
He's that kind of player. But Jarkel's that step above. You know, and he's going to Cal Bakersfield to play for Barnes.
That's a good program out there. Yeah, Barnes, former
and
Ole Miss coach.
I asked him if he knew Rod Barnes, and he said, no, I was a little young. He said, I do know he used to cut my dad's hair. Jarkel's dad used to cut Rod Barnes.
I think Ole Miss probably paid him enough he didn't have to work on the side there.
Well, you know, I got a little confused there on the name, who was cutting whose hair, but I'm sure Jarkel's dad was going, got a little young one coming up you might want to look at.
Yep. Indeed.
But Jarkel said he enjoyed his visit, and it was really nice and peaceful out there, and I'm sure it was.
So, good story there by Gene on Jarkel Joyner, the Oxford standout there. A few other notes just from the past few days, some results or just some things to mention here, Blake. You know, we talk a lot about Neusite's girls, and they certainly have a good team year in and year out. Mm-hmm. Neusite boys are off to a fine start, 11-1, the record there for the Royals. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye on those guys. And speaking of the Neusite girls, I was just scanning the box scores over the weekend, Blake, and on Friday they played Red Bay, Alabama. They won 37-36 despite being shut out in the fourth quarter. Neusite scored 0 points.
Wow.
Red Bay only scored two. So it's 37-34. And you figure
defensive struggle.
Yeah, I would say so. You figure, you know, you tell Red Bay you're going to shut them out in the fourth quarter. We should win. You're only down three. We should win.
You would imagine so.
So great defense, I guess, or maybe really bad shooting. I don't know. Probably a combination thereof. A new site scheduled to be back in action today, Thursday, at Tishomingo County.
I think we'll have that covered as well. That might be in the paper tomorrow.
Okay. Blake Long there for us? Who's there for us?
Gene's going to
be there. Okay. Yeah. I know Blake. I think he's doing radio for it.
Right.
And Blake helps us out sometimes. But, yeah, they're 7-3 entering that game against Tish County. And, of course, we talked about Tupelo's boys earlier. Tupelo's girls off to a 9-2 start. And they defeated South Tillo on Tuesday, 56-6. Speaking of defense,
yeah,
56-6. That's not a typo. There was a quarter that South Tillo got shut out there as well. So it's just one of those games you come across sometimes, Blake, in high school basketball, where one team is just so overmatched or just has a really bad night. I'm a little surprised to see that, but just a few notes there on basketball. Let's talk some football now. I know football season's over and all the state championship trophies have been won, but of course y'all are not done. Blake, you and Gene are not done, because we've got all area football to put together, and we do this every year, put together the best of the best from Northeast Mississippi and honor those guys. And, of course, we're not going to reveal anything here, but we're going to have what's it going to look like, first of all? How many players are we selecting?
Well, we are going to have, regardless of position or side of the field, we're going to have the 12 best players as first team.
Right.
And then 12 second team. And that's how we're going to do it.
Great. So, yeah, it doesn't matter about position, because I know there's different ways to do it, different ways to approach it. But I think this way, you know, if you do it by position, which I think we did – once or twice a long time ago, that's all fine and good, but that works better at like the college or professional level,
because
at this level the best athletes tend to kind of gravitate towards certain positions
because we toyed with that for a little bit,
right,
positions, and we were like, well, you know, that's cutting out some really good players and maybe elevating some players that don't necessarily need to be quite in that conversation if we're cutting those other guys
out. Right, because you've got a lot of really good quarterbacks and running backs and linebackers and other people like that, that, you know, it'd be hard to leave a lot of those guys off. And it's going to be hard anyway. I'm sure it's difficult to just cut it down to 24.
It was.
Yeah. I mean, so, but we've got that. I guess y'all have pretty much got that done. We've got the players of the year, offensive and defensive. We've got the coach of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the photos we shot. They're really good. I think we shot another one today on Thursday.
We did.
But again, we're not going to tell you who it is. You just have to wait. Usually this comes out near the end of December. I don't know if we've nailed down a publication
date. Well, it's weird this year because it's usually on a Sunday, but Christmas falls on a Sunday this year, so I honestly don't know how. It'll be around Christmas.
And there's no paper on Sunday
on
Christmas.
So that kind of changes things up. So I think it's that Monday, but it might be that Saturday. It's right around that area. Right.
Just look
Christmas.
For it, yeah, and it'll be online as well. And how tough a call was it on the – because I know who it is, and start with Coach of the Year. That had to be probably the toughest thing just about, because you had Trent Hammond that led Tupelo deep into the playoffs, undefeated regular season, best regular season ever, I guess. And then you had, of course, what they've done at Pontotoc, which you haven't seen done a lot at that school. Jeff Carter's done a great job there. You had Alan Glenn in his first year at Amory really get that program turned around in a hurry.
Yeah.
I mean, those are just three guys. I mean, I could name some more if you give me a second. But
oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you could go with Michael Fair at
Lafayette.
You could go with Perry Lyles at Calhoun City.
Chris Chambliss won a title, too, at West
Point. Yeah, right. So, you know, if you had to do a top six, those are definitely the six. The first three you named were pretty much the three it really boiled down to, and that was definitely the hardest award to come up with.
Yeah,
and we were pretty split on it, but I mean, you know, we had to go with one, and
you and Gene arm wrestled for it, and you figured it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there you go, people. A little bit of a clue as to who it might be. There, your top three that Blake mentioned. I think most people who watch football around here would agree those are three pretty good finalists, if you will.
Yeah.
Certainly Hammond, Carter, and Alan Glenn. So anyway, again, we'll have that in the journal coming up before too long. Coming up this weekend, I believe it's Saturday, isn't it, down in Gulfport, the North-South All-Star Game, or
that's
the Bernard Blackwell Classic, as they call it.
Yep, cool. Yep, that's where I'll be. It'll be at 11:30. It is not on TV.
Okay.
There's an internet broadcast, though.
Okay.
Some weird –
some it's weird like, it's like website that, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
FTN ball, whatever.
Oh, Friday night, FNUT, I don't know. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
But that's
about.
It.
Is it the Friday night under the lights people?
Yeah, I guess so. FNUT. Yeah, because Jake Wimberly will be.
FNUTL, I think is what it is. Anyway, we got some players playing in this game for the North. Who do we got going down there?
Yeah, we got Jaquiz Atkins from Starkville, Jaylee Adams from Kossuth, Ontario Hunt, Walnut, Terrence Edgestone, Faulkner, Vincent McIntosh, Shannon, who probably led the journal this year in players with their pictures in it. We put him in there.
We had a lot of pictures of that guy.
Yeah, he is a fun guy, I guess, to take pictures of. Zay Collins, North Pontotoc, DQ Thomas, Oxford, Nelson Jordan, Starkville, Jimmy Tyes, Baldwin, who just signed with East Mississippi.
East Mississippi, yep.
And Joey Claybrook, Starkville, Matt Tolles, Lafayette, and Luke Wilson, East Webster.
Luke Wilson? Sorry. I'm trying to think of a joke there. His brother Owen get picked as well? I'm just kidding. So, congrats to those guys. What time is that kickoff?
11:30.
In Gulfport, you'll be there. So follow Blake on Twitter at Blake Morgan DJ and get some updates from the North South All Star Game. Time now for the athletes of the week. We do this every week at the end of the show. We recognize a couple of athletes, a male and female, for their athletic accomplishments over the past week. Let's start with the female athlete of the week. I'll do this one, Blake. You can do the male athlete. I'm trying to combine the words. Athlete of the week. Okay, female. It's Belmont's Claire Maroon. She's just a freshman. 21 points, 13 rebounds, 5 blocks, and a 74-32 win over Tremont. I believe that's a game Gene was at the other night. Got a good team up there, as usual, with Chris Higginbottom, the head coach. And so Claire Maroon, I don't know if that's a predictor of where she'll play college ball at, but just a freshman and playing awfully well, as is Belmont. So congrats to her. And Blake, male athlete of the week.
Corinth, Tata Strickland.
Tata.
Nickname. It's Xavius Strickland, I believe is his actual name.
Tata's junior. Easier to say.
Yeah, right. Tata, easier to say. I mean, even the coach was, you know, when I was talking to him after the game, he's like, yeah, Tata really just took over the game. it might as well be his actual name, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
But he had 18 points in a 78-51 win over Tishomingo County. And then in the game that I saw him play in, he had 26 points, including 12 in the fourth, in a 52-39 win over Pontotoc.
Right.
And that score is a little misleading, as it was pretty close in the fourth quarter. Like, those 12 points were big to get Corinth the win.
Yeah, and Corinth is now 6-3, the reigning 4A state champs there. So congrats to Tata Strickland and Clara Maroon, your Prep Rally athletes of the week. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you all for being patient and waiting a day for this episode. We'll be back next week, hopefully on a Wednesday. I know it's the Wednesday before Christmas, but at least Blake and I will be here, and we'll see about Gene as well. But you can follow us on Twitter. Again, that's at DJournalPreps. Be sure to check out a couple of the other podcasts that we produce here at the Journal. We've got Double Coverage, an Ole Miss and Mississippi State sports podcast. Every Thursday, except this week, it's going to drop Friday. They're running a day behind, too. Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry discussing the Bulldogs and Rebels. And also The Memo, our three-day-a-week news and entertainment podcast with myself and W. Derek Russell. New episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. You can find these podcasts in any of your podcast apps or in iTunes there if you have an iPhone. All right, that's it for this edition of Prep Rally. So until next time, for Gene Phillips and Blake Morgan, I'm Brad Locke. Have a good one.